Mr. Malone, being a school teacher that you are, would you lead us in a Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Alon's wife has some medical problems that he's taking care of, so he has been excused. Ms. Novosich called me. She's just running a few minutes late, but she is planning on being here. And can you, did you get Mr. Holliday? We need to get you in. We got him in yet? And I haven't heard anything from Mr. Robertson. I don't know. Yeah, he is. He's out of town. He is out of town today. Okay, could I have a motion to approve the August 19th minutes?
Yes, I make a motion to approve the previous board meeting.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
On the question, all in favor by sign of aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Correspondence.
Chairman, you have the 2015-16 budget of the Southwest Illinois Flood Protection District. You have the annual report of the Regional Superintendent of Schools, the monthly report of the County Clerk and Circuit Clerk, the jail population report of the Sheriff, the monthly investment report of the Treasurer.
Okay. Anything else? Then we do have a couple of appointments.
I apologize. The New Douglas Fire Protection District, Jeffrey Lessico, is recommended for reappointment to a new three-year term. The Northeast Central County Public Water District, Keith Craner, is recommended for appointment to the unexpired term of Jarrett J. Fagan, Jr., who has resigned.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to approve those.
So moved.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
On the question, all in favor by a sign of aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. On finance, Mr. Minner, if you could bring in 1, 2, and 3, and then we're going to do 4 and 5 separately, please.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the board, the Finance and Government Operations Committee have 5 items for your consideration. Number 1, summary reports of claims and transfers. Immediate emergency appropriation 2016 Illinois DCFS grant. Resolution approving construction contracts for the Southwestern Illinois Flood Prevention Council. This is signed by all members of the committee. I move for your approval.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Yes.
Got a second on the question. Roll call. Okay, motion carried. Mr. Minner, if you bring in number 4 and 5, please.
Yes. An ordinance approving the issuance of Southwestern Illinois Flood Prevention District Council sales tax revenue bonds and a resolution authorizing the Madison County Flood Prevention District and the Southwestern Illinois Flood Prevention Council fiscal year 2016 budget and annual report. This is also signed by the members of the committee. I move for your approval.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Yes.
We have a second. Without doing any questions on here, let me tell you, I'll speak first, and we got 2 people in attendance that are going to come down here that will probably try to answer your questions, because I know this is a very important issue, and I think there might be some interesting discussion on it. First off, I want to thank the levy board for getting us to this point. The good news is we will be at the 100-year level by the year 2016. What that means, basically, is people that live, there's about 50,000 jobs down there, or about 100,000 people live in the flood areas. Those people will not have to buy the mandatory flood insurance. I am not saying that they shouldn't have flood insurance. If you live behind a levee, you should have flood insurance. But give you an example, Jim Pennekamp is one of the members of the levee district. His insurance would have gone from like $200 a month to over $1,000, $200 a year to over $1,000 a year on flood. So this was a project that everyone worked together on getting to this point. Is a textbook case, in my opinion, on how local governments get together, Democrats, Republicans. I mean, Mike was up there helping us a lot in Springfield to get to the point that we're at today. So we're getting to the 100-year level. Ultimately, to protect our residents, we would like to get to the 500-year level. That is the ultimate goal. Now, when this whole project started, and I'm going to have the two speakers come down here and answer any questions. I'll try to answer any questions that you have also. We were told that for the Corps of Engineers to get this project done in their time frame, it would have been by the year 2044. We couldn't wait until 2044. So most of the monies that have been used on the levees today has been local money. I want to repeat that, has been local money. The idea, and I think Chuck is going to be trying to explain this, and then we've got the bond council that can answer any questions you have too, is that we're using that local money. You know, when you look at these functions, it's a 65-35 match. We're basically paying a lot, almost 100% on almost all these projects today to get to the 100-year level to help our residents that live and protected by these by the levees. Soon, the Corps of Engineers, and what we're looking at today is to look beyond that to get to the 500-year level. So we're looking at doing some preliminary study work, you'll correct me if I say this wrong, to get to 2016 with the idea in 2017 we start construction for the 500-year level. All the money that we are spending now, we are hopeful, I think it is going to happen, it's going to be used towards our match with the Corps of Engineers for them to get to the 500-year level. So that's the goal that we are trying to do. I think it's been I think we owe it to our residents. I can't say enough about everyone that's worked on it. The people that have been on this, the Flood Protection District have been working. There's nine people have been working without pay. They have been doing very good due diligence. It started out with Les Sturman. People didn't think this could happen. They did not think we could get to the point that we're at today where we're going to be up to the 100-year level by next year. They did not think this could happen. And we are being used as an example throughout the nation. I want to repeat that. Madison, St. Clair County, and Monroe County are being used as an example throughout the nation on how to do something locally and to get these levees up. And we're in that process. Now, we have two people, Chuck Itward. I hope I pronounced that right. He's got a title that I never could understand the title, but he's Chief
Supervisor of Construction and the Works.
And we have Jeff White, that is Columbia Capital Financial Advisor. They can answer questions you have on. I had a few questions before the meeting, and I think they can answer all the questions. And if they can, you know, and between Joe and myself, we had a meeting this morning talking about this issue, and Chuck would be a good person to answer questions also. You had a question, Mr. Madison.
I did, but I just as soon have them go through their presentation before I ask.
Do you want to go through? You have
have a presentation, but as the chairman said, we are very fortunate. We're going to be able to complete the 100-year level project protection by the end of next year. We hope to get that certification from FEMA. We're going to complete those projects and probably have a surplus of $15 to $20 million left after we complete that, plus the ability that Jeff can address a little bit to issue another maybe $65 million worth of revenue bonds. We'll be able to use that $85 million towards that 500-year level, and yes, it is our intent to use that money as a match with the Corps of Engineers. Up to the 100-year level, it's been 100% of the county funds, the quarter cent sales tax that we collect. We collect about $11.3 million a year. That's the funds that we've used to get to that 100-year level. It's quite honestly quite amazing from what I understand. About 4 or 5 years ago, the thought was that the project was going to cost $160 million. People weren't sure we were going to have enough money to do the 100-year. It looks like we're going to complete that 100-year for maybe about $115 million, and we're going to have $15 to $20 million left over that we can use towards that 500-year. The only correction I would have is the council has already authorized the design of projects in the Wood River levee system, and today they authorized the design in East St. Louis. Okay. And eventually down the road, once the Corps gives us more information, we'll start the design in Prairie Pond Fish Lake. But already, our consultant this next year will be doing design for 3 bid packages in Wood River, and it'll either be 3 or 4 packages in East St. Louis. And so the next year is design. When we get to the following year, we will start the construction on that 500-year level.
Questions?
Yes, thank you.
Madison.
I'm real happy to see that the project is moving forward to better the levee system to current standards. I'm glad to see that people's flood insurance can stay lower because of this. I'm for the project, but as I was reading through the information that was sent to us, I ran across one thing that when I looked in to see what it was, it bothered me. Is the Southwestern Illinois Flood Protection District Council planning to use a PLA, a project labor agreement?
Yes.
They are for sure.
Yes.
That is no longer negotiable.
They passed the resolution back in May 2012 to utilize PLAs, and we are working with the Corps of Engineers. The Corps of Engineers is looking at also the possibly using some type of a best approach method instead of the lowest bid technically method, where there might be some waiting towards it. We're waiting for them to come up with their criteria.
Is using a PLA a state law?
Not that I'm aware of.
I didn't see any evidence that it was myself. Here's my problem. For those of you in the room that may not know what a PLA is, it's a project labor agreement. And basically what it does, we already are a prevailing wage state in Illinois. That is law. You must pay the highest wage in the largest city of the county or the largest average. And we already have to do that. If a non-union contractor wants to bid on a project like this, he has to pay prevailing wage, even if it's higher than what he normally pays his employees. However, in a PLA situation, the way I see it, it looks like, and PLAs can be negotiated differently. I don't know how this PLA was negotiated, but it looks like in a PLA, a non-union contractor would have to hire union labor through the union hall. He could use some of his workers, but the rest would have to go through the union hall. They would have the ability to join the union or not, and he would have to also pay benefits to those workers through the union hall, even though he's already paying benefits to the workers that he has on staff. And I don't think that's fair. I think that's it's collusion. It's price fixing. I think it's pay-to-play politics at its very worst, and I think it sounds on its face very corrupt, and I have a real problem with that. I'm for the project. I would vote yes for it. If there's a PLA, I will be forced to vote no.
And I don't know if I can try to explain the project labor agreements. The first off, there was a study done by the Leadership Council, which is, if you look at the Leadership Council, if 100 people show up, and I and Mark Kern show up, it's probably about 98 Republicans and 2 Democrats. Okay, they did a study on the PLAs locally. And basically they came out with the big advantage of project labor agreements. And I can get that study to you. I didn't know that was going to be an issue today. But the key here is we're asking our residents to pay a quarter cent sales tax. And what we wanted to do is to make sure it's our people doing the work that live in Madison County, that make a living in Madison County, that pay taxes in Madison County. We did not want groups, and I'll be honest with you, from like southern parts to come in and do levee work, bring their workers in when this is a local project and we want to use Madison County workers. And I think that was a big issue with the levee district. And the levee district, by the way, is bipartisan. It's made up of both parties. I think it was a unanimous decision to use project labor agreements.
Our projects that we've done up to this date.
Yeah.
All the projects have come in under estimate, and as I indicated earlier, at one time the cost of the projects were estimated to be up in the $160 million, and we've been able to accomplish the projects probably about $115 million.
And is there anything you can add, Joe, or I don't know if I explained that?
No, I mean, the report reference, kind of gets into the details of PLA, so if you're really interested in looking at the pros and cons, I encourage.
And we'll get a copy of that for you in the future, Mr. Adler.
Yeah, I have a question, Mr. Chairman. If I understand what you're saying, is that all the construction dollars that are going to go to wages within this project, not engineering, just the construction dollars, are going to be folks from Madison, St. Clair, and Monroe County? Here's my issue is that we run out of laborers in the Wood River local, so what we end up doing is instead of adding more people to the books with public money, they're going to call Greene County and send a bunch of Greene County people down to work, and that's the only concern I would say
the vast majority. I can't sit here and say everyone, but I would say the vast majority is from Madison County. Now, the reason the plant that you brought up, when they did the ConocoPhillips, you know, of course, that was a very, very large project, and they had to bring people from outside the area. The unions did to work on that project because of the scope of the project. This is not that big of a project. This is a big project, but it's not that big of a project where I think they're bringing outside workers into Madison County to do it. Now, I don't know if I'm answering your question. I would say 99% of the people doing this work on this project are people that live and pay taxes in Madison County.
With public dollars, it's important to me to make sure that rather than calling Greene County and hiring laborers there, that the laborers union puts Madison County residents on their books. Okay.
I agree with you 100%, and I think that's our goal.
Will our vote today we will still have PLAs if we vote yes or no today? There'll be a PLA in
there. Everything that we're doing locally, the council that does this has said the PLAs are enforced. You know, so they're doing everything with PLA. Now, what we're doing is everything we're doing is a 35%. You know, we're paying 100% of the bill right now. Okay. I don't know what the Corps is going to do in the future. I'm going to try to say this. When we get to do the study that we're doing now, and down the line the Corps of Engineers is doing their work, okay, to get to the 500-year level, they're probably going to go through some type of bidding process. And they may or may not use the PLA, but we're going to be able to use our 35% in kind. You see what I'm saying? So it would be a mute issue. All the work that we're doing that we are paying for using local dollars, we're using the PLA. We will get to the 100-year level with the local money. All the money that we're using today is going towards that 35% match to ultimately get to the 500-year level. So when the Corps of Engineers down the line does their work, and they're doing something with PLA that was supposed to have by the end of the month to take consideration PLAs to see if they save money or whatever. They're doing a study. The Corps of Engineers doing that. We were told today that we might have that by the end of the month, but we've been told those things before. We've been talking about this PLA issue with the Corps of Engineers for how long?
For years.
So all the work that is being done today is that we're doing has been under PLAs. It's been local money. Okay, that money, when we do a project in the future and the Corps of Engineers bids it out, okay, and let's say it's a $100 million project, they're going to look at our $35,000 that we already paid into it as in kind. You understand what I'm saying? We would not probably be part of the Corps would probably be part of the bidding process.
I do, but that's really not my issue at all. My issue is that if you force a business owner to use labor other than that of his own, really against his will, if he wants to bid your project, that's wrong. It's not freedom. It shouldn't even, in the private sector, it wouldn't even be legal. There are other states that have said you can't do this anymore. They've struck that law down.
Well, and let's let other people speak. Mr. Malone.
I think it also needs to be noted that PLOs bring labor peace also. So if you're on a time frame trying to get a project done within a certain amount of time.
Actually, Mr. Madison, do not see opposite. What happens when you have a PLA agreement, they are not allowed to have a strike situation.
Right.
You will not have any stoppage at all when you have a PLA. Mr. Asadorian.
Yeah. And it's obvious we saved $45 million by using local union labor. PLAs are common practice throughout the country. And you're putting local people to work at a huge savings. Rather than paying companies to come up from Birmingham, Alabama, or someplace down in Texas where they have to put in a bid, housing, and everything else, you're paying local people union wages to perform the job for your local project. Win-win situation.
I'll go a step farther. I'll point to you, Ms. Kuhn, in just a second. I don't know of a school district that's been built in Madison County that has not used a project labor agreement. I remember meeting with Dell Sturt, with the Highland School District when they built their school. They used a project labor agreement. I remember when Bethalto did something. They used a project labor agreement. When the Triad does a school, they do a project labor agreement. I don't know of a school district any place in Madison County that doesn't use a project labor agreement because they work. I'm going to try to give everybody time to speak. Lisa.
Yes. Thank you. My question, are we using all federally matching funds available, or does this PLA interfere with that?
Chuck, you want to answer?
No, it really won't, because what we're spending now will be towards our 35% share. When we build these projects, we'll do our 35% share. When the Corps gets their money, they'll do their 65% share.
So if they don't use a PLA, you will still use their federally matching funds, no matter what.
Right.
They would use our 35% in kind.
35%. They look at the Corps looks at the project as a whole. So I'll just throw out a number. Let's say the project's $100 million. We're going to do $35 million worth of work. That satisfies or qualifies for our 35%. The Corps will come along when they get money. Maybe they'll get $20 million a year or whatever. I have no idea what they're going to get. They don't even know what they're going to get right now. But when they get money, they will spend that money 100%. But when you look at the overall project, we will have spent $35 million. They will have spent $65 million. That's your 35-65.
Chuck, how much have we right now, do you think we, and with this, what we're doing today, how much have we spent locally?
Locally? Oh, wow. I'd say a good 80% at least. I mean.
Okay, well, how much money?
The projects have cost 100. I'm estimating it's going to be like 115 million right now.
So that 115 is basically, if you take times that by three, you can see what the Corps of Engineers is going to pay in the future. They're 65. You see the point I'm trying to make. All what we're doing right now is banking our share.
We're going to be banking our share with the money that we're going to get from this revenue bond and the money we have left over from the 100 year.
Okay, Ms. Coon.
Yeah. Well, the people I represent definitely want the levies fixed. But I voted no on the quarter-cent sales tax, and I'm voting no today. This is such a tremendous amount of money. I think everyone needs more information. And I'm certainly not anti-union, but I believe the people should be taken care of. But it's the cost that concerns me.
And I don't know how you get by with the cost, because the bottom line is you got to fix the levies. If you do not fix these levies, Ms. Coon, let me tell you, it will, and Mike knows a lot of businesses down there. Businesses would leave because they could not afford the flood insurance. We have people down there that would not be able to buy their flood insurance. If you look at the growth that's going on in Madison County today, it's below the bluffs. It's because of the warehousing areas, the logistics area. You know, there's a freight study being done. Everything that's looking good right now for Madison County is down below the bluffs. We had two things that hit us, and they hit us at the same time. One was the recession, and one was this levy issue. I could tell you, and I think Mike knows some of these names too, we had people that were coming to locate in Madison County when the recession hit and then the levy issue hit. We don't have a choice but to get these levies fixed. If we don't fix these levies, Madison County might as well just close their doors, because you're not going to have any new growth in this county. That's how important this issue is. Mr. Walters, and I'm going to try to let everybody speak. Ms. Hawkins, I'll get you next.
I certainly appreciate the discussion. I think a lot of people brought up a lot of great points on both sides of this issue. As Mr. Chairman had indicated, this is something that my association worked on. We worked with Senator Hayne, Claiborne, Senator Watson, and Senator Luckenfeld to get this bill done. And one of the things that we did, I talked to Senator Watson, and we started discussing. I said, the problem I have with some of our levy districts is we have people in there that I believed are not exactly of the top quality that we need. Senator Watson looked at Senator Hayne and discussed it, and I think it was Senator Hayne came up with the usual suspects of the people that are on the levy districts. They just rubber stamp everything. So I think that this levy board is 9-5-4. So
yes,
the votes are unanimous, and I can certainly speak highly of the specific gentleman that's on there that I think is one of the top ones there. This gentleman is an attorney. He reads everything. He's as conservative of a person as I know. And when I talked to him about it, he was in favor of it. And Mr. Mastin brought up some good points. And we discussed it, and he understood those concerns. He said, Mike, the fact of the matter is we're going to have to get this done. I think it's a good deal. Is it 100% what I want? No. He said, but, you know, there's compromise. And in this instance, I think we do have to give a little to get. I think if we can get the local people, that's great. Would I like to see it come in even less if we were able to do bidding in a different manner? I'd love that. We're in the state of Illinois. It's not going to happen. So I certainly appreciate everything, but as the chairman said, we can't afford not to get this done.
Ms. Hawkins?
I don't see you saying that.
I'm going to get maybe like two or three more people talk. We just need to move on. Ms. Hawkins?
Yes. Within 2 weeks of Katrina, I brought to the attention of all of our federal legislators the question was, how safe is our levees? And when I got the report back about the sand boils that is under the levee, that's what I face where I live. When I got the report about the levee wall and that, you know, I feel very proud that I was the lone county board member who brought this to the attention of the county. Okay, but what really did was Katrina. We all know that.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying that when we voted for it to tax, we were told that the core of the federal government would give a share. Now, I'm hearing today that they will give a share towards fixing it, because I always believed it was too massive for locals to pick up.
And its cost. And the reason their revenue stream is so slow. I mean, Corps of Engineers, their revenue stream is so slow. And by the way, and you're right, Katrina changed the game.
Yeah.
Okay, what happened up to that time when we had two big events here in Madison County, or the rivers. There was one, we had a 350-year level flood, and we had a 200-year level flood. The levees held, okay? But at that time, you could do what they call flood fighting. If you had water that seeped underneath the levees, it would cause a sand boil, and then they would put sandbags and that around it to keep the pressure. So we were always flood fighting. But because of what happened at Katrina, flood fighting is out of the question. They want the levees to hold without flood fighting. Okay? So that's why the standards have moved up. And it's not just here. It's moved up all over the country. Okay? These standards have moved up all over the country. But the Corps of Engineers used to have me going out on the speaking circuit talking about how we came up with Mike's help and people's help and how we did this locally to try to show other people how to bring their levees up. This, folks, is a success story, is a textbook case on the way government is supposed to work together. We had three counties. We had every city they had to get on board. We had both Democrats and Republicans. This couldn't happen without Bill Hain, but it couldn't happen without Frank Watson, couldn't happen without Dan Beiser, and it probably couldn't have happened without Ron Stevens. And both sides of the House and Senate in Springfield, Mike was helpful in that. You know, this all came together, and we got this quarter-cent sales tax to support this issue. It would be something else if we sit here right now and we collected this money. We didn't reach the goal. The goal was ultimately to get to the 100-year level. We're at the 100-year level. And now we want to get to the 500-year level. Okay?
I've got a question.
Yes,
a couple
Mr.
questions.
McCray.
So we've already got $35 million, right, $30 million or so dollars from Madison County that we've spent on the project. It's $115 million.
$115 is the total estimated cost when the project is finished next year for the 100-year level.
Okay.
Okay. We still have about $28, $30 million worth of construction to finish on the projects that we still have to do for that 100-year.
Okay. And so what's the additional cost to go to 500? It's another $100 million or so?
Well, the Corps has estimated $185 million.
$185, okay.
Okay.
That's
and
what I
you know, with the money that we have, I think we can probably get to about $152 million. There will still be some needs left after that because we only have so much money that we can issue for the bonds and everything. We can only do so much. But at the same time, the Corps is still evaluating some of the work that we've done in the Prairie du Pont Fish Lake area, and that could bring that $185 million down.
Okay.
But right now, with matches and everything,
you made a good point.
I think we could probably do about $152, $154 million of that $185
million. And Mr. McRae, you made a very good point there. A lot, we're not just stopping at the $100. We're still going to use local funds to do some of the $500 that would be used for match in the future. We're going to continue to spend till we're out of money, and then that way they use the in-kind. I think that's a very good question.
Well, no, I was wondering how that didn't count for our match, but I understand it's going to be an additional $30 million or so, I guess, from that. But the question I have is, are we leaving any federal money on the table, any matching by incorporating project labor agreements into the mix? Are we leaving any federal matching? We are not.
We won't, because
you're telling me
we're going to spend whatever we can for our 35% match.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. And that's already done.
The Corps is going to spend, well, in the future, for the 500 year, the Corps is going to spend their 65%. They're going to come up with their 65%.
Okay.
That's going to be their match. We're not going to leave anything on the table. We're going to utilize everything that we can to get the match.
Okay. So we are.
Anybody that didn't speak yet wants to speak, because I don't want to. Anybody else that did not speak, that did not.
So we're not leaving any federal money, any matching money on the table by the way this contract is arranged.
As we go forward, we're going to be spending our 35%, and the Corps will match it with their money when they get it. They don't have any money right now.
Okay.
When they get it.
Okay.
Roll call. And Chuck and Jeff, we didn't talk too much about the bond issue, but, you know, thank you.
I would add that I'm not anti-union. I had a union contractor build my house and hire union contractors on occasion.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Motion carried. Anything else, Mr. Minter?
That's all I have, sir. We have a budget meeting Friday morning, our first budget meeting at 8 o'clock here.
Thursday.
Tomorrow morning.
Thursday, Jack.
Did I say Friday? Thursday.
Tomorrow morning is our first budget meeting, and all board members are welcome to attend.
Okay.
Mr. Malone, Grants Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, fellow board members. The Grants Committee has four resolutions for your consideration. One, a resolution authorizing home program funds to Justine Peterson Housing and Reinvestment Corporation. Two, a resolution authorizing the submission of the 2016 Community Services Block Grant Program grant application for the County of Madison. Three, a resolution authorizing a public infrastructure loan to America Central Port. Four, a resolution authorizing increase in PEP funds for Alhambra Township. I move for their adoption.
We have a motion. We have a second on the question. Roll call. Motion carried. Anything else, Mr. Malone?
No, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. Planning Development Committee, Mr. Maher.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Planning Development Committee has following resolutions for your approval. We need to please note that in the resolution Z150079 has been tabled in the committee for 30 days.
Okay. Do note it.
We'll bring that back next month.
Okay. I'll make a motion for the rest of them then?
Yes. And as far as the rest of them, zoning resolutions, I so move approval.
We have a motion. Is there a second? We got a second on the question. Roll call. Motion carry. Anything else, Mr. Maher?
That is all. Thank you,
okay,
Mr. Chairman.
Real Estate Tax Cycle Committee, Mr. Tricconnell.
Mr. Chairman, fellow board members, the Real Estate Tax Cycle Committee has a property trustee resolution, and I move for its adoption.
We have a motion. Is there a second? We have a second on the question. Roll call. Motion carried. Anything else, Mr. Tricano?
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
And Mr. Simonson, did you guys do any work on a highway to committee this time?
We saved your money. No, we didn't spend
okay,
any money.
Just wanted to make sure. Lisa, do you have something you want to bring under new business?
Yes, I do. Thank you, everyone. I've sent an email.
Could you speak into mic? I can't.
Am I not?
Okay.
Okay. I've sent an email to Joe asking for a copy of the budget. I was told that I couldn't have a copy of the budget until it's presented to the Finance Committee, which I know that meeting is tomorrow at 8 a.m., which I plan on attending, but I can't ask any informed questions if I can't review the budget prior to. So my first question is, when is it required for the draft budget to be presented to the Finance Committee, per the ordinance?
The County Board rules says that we're supposed to give the Finance Committee a copy of the ordinance prior or by September 15th, and we met that.
They did receive that. And also, the reason, Lisa, that we do that is the Finance Committee gets it for the first time, and we present it to them. And they will have questions, too. We do not give it to members before we give it to the Finance Committee, because we present to the Finance Committee a preliminary. That preliminary is not voted on. You will have ample time to discuss anything in that levy after it's been presented to the Finance Committee. But we always present it to the Finance Committee first. And then at that meeting, if you want to have a copy of it, we'd be more than happy to give any board member a copy of it.
We also extend to the entire county board the opportunity to attend a later budget meeting when the budget is more complete, more refined, get you the full copy in advance, and then invite you to the meeting. So this is the first time the Finance Committee will have it explained to them. We're early in the process. We started at our level back in June. The departments have been working. Now it's to the point where it's being given to the Finance Committee, and then they have 2 months to work on it.
Well, and to respond to that, I thought that it had to be presented by the 15th and not just a
provided.
Copy.
Has to be provided by the 15th. And I discussed it with them in the Finance Committee last Wednesday, and it was mailed to them on Friday.
Okay. And then my second question is a cash flow projection also going to be presented at that budget meeting from the recommendations of the independent study that you all did?
That is still a work in progress. We still need more data. That'll be part of the subsequent meetings.
Else? Okay. And before I don't forget it, Mr. We need to have a motion to approve the June 17th Health Department Committee minutes. Can I get a motion from you, Ms. Hawkins, to approve the minutes for the Health Department?
Yes. I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
We have a motion. Is there a second? We've got a second on the question. All in favor by sign of aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. And Mr. Holliday, Health Department Committee.
First, I ask that activity report be placed on file as presented. Also, I have a resolution establishing assessment priorities for the 2016-2021 Madison County Community Health Plan. Whereas Madison County Health Department is established as a certified local health department in accordance with the Illinois Local Health Department Code for the period June 3, 2011 to June 2, 2016, and must submit to IDPH for recertification a community health assessment, a community health plan, and organizational capacity assessment, all adopted by the Madison County Board of Health. And whereas the Health Department is required to assess the health needs of Madison County through a systematic assessment process, identifying a minimum of 3 health concerns that impact population health, providing information on the health status and health needs of a community, and whereas the assessment process has been ongoing since January 2015 and involves stakeholders from various sectors, such as service agencies, faith-based organizations, community associations, schools, universities, hospitals, and other partners within the public health system of Madison County, and whereas the Madison County Community Health Plan 2016-2021 will be developed to establish objectives and intervention strategies that will impact positively on the health of Madison County. And whereas the Board of Health Advisory Committee and Health Department Committee recommend the acceptance of the assessment findings which identify 4 priority health needs, now therefore be it resolved, the Madison County Board of Health establishes 4 health priorities: obesity, substance abuse, mental health, and air quality. For the 2016-2021 Madison County Community Health Plan, and that the Public Health Director is hereby authorized to submit to IDPH the recertification application by April 3rd, 2016, and I ask this resolution be adopted.
I have a motion. Is there a second? Second on the question. All in favor by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, I say it. I know it's when you say obesity. I saw a few people go like this, but I'm not going to say, you know, we're going to talk. Hey, I just want to introduce Jeff Ezra was our assistant state's attorney today, and I don't know if most of you knew him. I forgot to introduce you earlier. I just wanted to mention he was our assistant state's attorney. Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, entertain Chairman, a motion. I'd like to say something.
Yes, Ms. Roosevelt.
Well, I'm doing kind of a slow burn up here. And I just want to say I want to thank this project with the Flood Prevention Council has been the most open, transparent project that I have ever seen with support of both sides of the aisle. And I was absolutely shocked to see two board members voting no on this, one saying, I need more information. This information, when I first got on the board, I went to a couple of the meetings. They're open meetings. Anyone can go. Linda from the county board office has seen to it that we have received emails after every meeting. And in the emails, they describe quite in detail what goes on at these meetings. The good, the bad, and the ugly has all been in there. And I would like to say to the other county board member who came in halfway through this process, I suggest you go to the Southwestern Illinois Flood Prevention Council and you use those words like okay. Collusion
we don't,
and
we
pay
don't
to play.
Need to go into that. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved.
Sorry.
Seconded.
Aye.
Oh, no, hold on just a second. I'm sorry. Sit down for a second. I forgot. Bob, excuse me. I apologize. Bob Diver's got to make his report real fast. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'll just do it from right here. A copy of the annual regional office of education report was put in your mailbox. I'm proud that in this report all schools in Madison County are fully recognized. I do want to clarify one fact. Often in the non-public school section of the report, you'll know of a non-public school that's not listed. That's because it's not state recognized. Even non-public schools have to meet standards to be considered recognized as a non-public school. So I'm very proud of that. We serve 85 public schools and a total of 21 non-public schools are recognized this past year with about 44,000 kids, about 4,000 educators, and we're in the black.
And Bob, I do apologize. I knew I had this levy issue and I had that on my mind. I forgot to call you at the beginning of the meeting. Entertain a motion to recess or adjourn.
Move.
Second?
Aye.
All in favor by a sign of aye?
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it.